for the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. We celebrate round three of the FA Vars this week, and it's FA Vars Fat Bar, Mr. Philonet, who's on hand with some stats and facts. And then we talk to two managers who had great seasons in the competition last term, but are looking to go even better this time out. First up, it's an early return to Anstey Nomads, and joint chairman and manager there, Tony Blanchard. He's recovered from the FA Cup spotlight and ready to take on the challenge of FA Vars progression, but also catching up in the league where there are already due cup runs, some five games behind the leaders, not helped also by pitch postponements. One of the step six sides still in the competition, Whittlesea Athletic. A great story in themselves, and with player boss Ricky Houston at the helm, they are into the third round proper of the FA Vars for the second year running. Last year, they were comprehensively beaten by soon-to-be winners Newport Pagnell Town, and this year, they're taking it all in their stride as just another match of a very busy season. Rounding it all up from the non-league paper is Matt Badcock with some managerial changes, FA Cup and club takeovers all in the mix. So sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So it is the third round then of the FA Vars this time around. There's 64 clubs, 32 ties, and only one man to turn to in times such as these. Vase or Vars? The facts of the four-letter word, he is the only one that can settle the scores. It is a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show at FA Vars Fact File, Mr. Philonet. Welcome back, Phil.
Yeah, good to be back. Yeah, it's definitely Vars as far as I'm concerned. So we'll stick with that.
Well, we'll stick with the Vars. And I mean, the new look to the competition since the restructure, it's really been great in creating history. And this round is no different. I see from your wonderful fact file that I think there's five ties guaranteeing clubs into the fourth round for the first time in their history.
Yes, there are, yes. Five ties, 10 clubs of 26 in total. We've got a chance of setting a new club record. I think it is to do with the way the structure of the competition has changed with lots of clubs who would have been step five in the past now playing at step four. So big chances, yeah. We've got all Hellenic League Premier Division clash between Royal Wootton Bassett Town and Corsham Town. So they're both being in the third round for the second time, so have a chance of setting up a new club record, whoever wins that one. And then Pinchbeck United and St Pantaleimon, they meet together. Neither side has ever made it this far before. So they're already setting club records for themselves, and that could continue. And then there's Shaftesbury, who entertain Brixham FC. And even though Shaftesbury are step five and Brixham are step six, it is Brixham who've made it to the third round before, but neither side has gone further. And then we have a couple of clubs who are debutants in the competition who are still standing. And that's Hawarden Community Welfare and Hart Perry University. And they both face opposition who, if that team won, i.e. Darwin FC or Bovey Tracy, then they would set a new record for their own club. So, five ties where history is bound to be made.
And yeah, that sounds like a lot of extra work for you to be, doing all that research. But that's the sort of thing that gets you excited, isn't it?
I think so. I think it's great to be able to talk about clubs having record runs, and the Vars is very special for all the Step 5, Step 6 clubs. It's a nice diversion from the league, but obviously it ultimately can lead to a day out at Wembley. So, to make new memories and new history for a club, I think all clubs who manage to achieve that, whatever the season, are very pleased and proud to do so. And the fact that so many have the chance, it just makes that extra level of excitement for the competition.
Yeah, and there's so many that are making this history. It's the first time that they've been this far and that sort of thing. But there's also, it's great that there's also three former winners still involved in the competition again at this late stage. We've only got 64 clubs and we've still got three former winners still involved in the competition.
Yeah, it's good that they are there. And obviously we've got Newport Pagnell Town, who are defending champions. And so they'll be hoping to continue their run. And Deal Town are there, who won it a long time ago. I'm trying to remember now off the top of my head. 2000, was it? I'm not sure exactly. And so they're going. But then we've also got now Whitley Bay, who some would say are fortuitous to be still standing after having lost their second round tie, only to progress on the back of the fact that their opponents were disqualified. But the three former winners who still are in the mix to get back to Wembley.
Yeah, we do have various clubs being disqualified, almost every round as the competition goes. We got close with Littlehampton last year, but I don't think there's ever been a club that's been disqualified, reinstated, and still won the competition. Is that maybe something that Whitley Bay can hold out for?
Well, it could do. I don't think it's happened. And Littlehampton came close last season to achieving it, but I'm not aware that a club that's gone on to win the Vars got through a previous round as a consequence of their opponents being disqualified. But I'd have to do some digging to check.
And I'm sure you will now. I love that I've now set you off running and that sort of thing. And again, I have to refer back to the revenge or the chance for getting your own back on some of those old results of the past. There's a number as well that you've been able to. I was going to say dredge up, but that's probably the wrong term, because it's the sort of thing that again, it just gives it a little bit of edge. I mean, if ever these games needed an edge, we're in the last 64 of the FA Vars, they probably don't need any edge. But Tring Athletic against Dunstable Town, well, hopefully there's someone that remembers that game 12 years ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, Dunstable Town guys will remember it more than the Tring Athletic guys, having won the game 6-1. But there may be a few there from Tring who have not got over it and will see Sunday's match-up as a way of getting exercising that ghost, if you like, and getting the team through to the next round again. So that should be a good... I think it's quite a local derby as well, so that should be quite a good game, and the only one on Sunday. So if anyone's at a loss of what to do around that area, get themselves down there see if they can get that revenge.
We have got a great weekend ahead of us, because we've got a Friday evening game because of all the World Cup. Clubs have been moving fixtures left, right and centre. I think we've got a Friday evening game. We've got, two or three different kick-off times on Saturday and that Sunday game. It is a great opportunity to, even if you're not a supporter of one of these clubs, to get along and go and see FA Vars football. A quite exciting point of the competition.
Well, not only exciting point of competition, but every game has to be resolved on the day. So you know that while you're there, you're going to see a result of whether it's during the 90 minutes or from penalties. And now that the England side aren't playing until Sunday evening, there's no real excuse not to get out on a Saturday afternoon and go and watch one of these local sides as they try to continue their Vars run.
Yeah, and again, when I would... That, because I know that of your love for words and letters, and I look down and I see Eastbourne against Egham Town, and I see what was the other one I spotted? There was another one where the two sides were from Norwich United, Newport Bagnall Town, and I'm hoping that one day I'm going to see a draw that comes out and it's ABC as it goes down.
Well, of course, that Eastbourne versus Egham is a phone home derby, because it's ET versus ET. So there you go. Yeah. You have an opportunity to give it its own little title. And funny enough, that's the only pair up actually in the competition who've met more than once before in the past. And so it's great that a lot of sides will be facing clubs they've never faced before in a competition. It's always good for them to put themselves up against opponents they might not be familiar with.
Yeah, and that is the great thing about the FA Vars. It's crossing the boundaries, testing the boundaries, testing divisions against divisions. I know we've got a few where they're from within the same division or within the same league, but it is it shows the strength in depth across non-league at steps 5 and step 6. Going into all of these games, I don't expect to see any of these as a really high score routing of anybody. They're going to be tough and tight across each one of these 32 ties.
Yeah, I think they're all going to be competitive games. You've got teams from the same division, a couple of tie-up match-up there, but most of them are facing opposition from different leagues. And practically every, I think, if not all of the Step 5 leagues are still represented. And it's quite, it's been noted, I think, that there's quite a noticeable low number of Northern League sides still remaining. And wondering whether this is a trend that's moved in the Vars away from the Northern League as a dominant force in the competition. We shall see if that is something that happens ongoing, but it does open it up for other league representatives to get their chance to go a long way in this competition.
And now you've got me thinking, now I want to go and plot, see where all of these clubs are on a big map of the UK. Mate, there must be somebody out there that can do that for me.
Non-league maps, I think they're called.
Yeah. I need to make that a weekly go-to in relation to all of these competitions, and just show again the strength and breadth of non-league up and down the country. We mentioned that there's games Friday, several on Saturday, Sunday, but we'll all benefit from your preview and all the stats. Remind everybody where they can access the full preview that you've created and everything that comes with it, and all your Twitter account and things like that.
So you can get access to my standard FA Vars facts from FA Cup. I'm sorry, FA Vars fact file on Twitter, and from there there's a link through to my preview blog, which is actually on my FA Cup fact file .co.uk website. So go through the FA Vars fact file Twitter feed to get access to that.
Well, Phil, as ever, always a pleasure to get you on the Non-League Football Show. And thanks again for your time. We'll look out for the stats and facts over the weekend. But have a great weekend. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Tim. Thanks a lot.
OK, so let's start with the FA Vars and a return to the club we only spoke to a couple of months back, which I don't always like to do, but I wanted to know and get an update on the club's greatest season, and I thought our listeners probably would too. So when we last spoke, he was just preparing for the biggest game of the club's history, a home FA Cup tie in the fourth qualifying round against Chesterfield. The match will show a defeat on the results side of things, but with a bumper crowd and the club still in the FA Vars this weekend, I'm sure there were many wins. So let's find out, and welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Manager at Anstey Nomads, Mr. Tony Blanchard. Hello, Tony.
Hi, you're right, mate.
I'm good. When we last spoke, I think it was your 50th birthday. You probably not slept in a week. You had this big game to prepare for and then a holiday booked. Does that all seem like a lifetime ago?
Yeah. It's gone back to normal. I slept for 2 or 3 days on holiday. It hit me I went on the Sunday. I walked in a bar in Benalmadena in Spain, and the bloke said, "Oh, we were watching you guys the pub yesterday," which was a bit like a bit of an eye opener. So yeah, going through messages and that, and now it's gone back to normal. It's I think we've won every game since, to be fair, in the league and the cup, which is good because you could drop off after a big occasion like that. So fair play to the boys. I was away on that Tuesday. And they won in the last minute of the local derby in the league, which, sets us off on the right path. So, yeah, all good. Back to normal, back to a few hundred watching us. And it's back to normality. 5 minutes of fame. And my 50th was topped off last week, going to New York with a missus. So it's well and truly behind me now.
It's not a bad year, though, is it, so far? And there's still plenty to come.
It was a good month, put it that way. It was a good 4 weeks. So that's it now. I'm 50 and that, I ain't going to talk about it anymore. But yeah, I went to New York from Sunday to Friday, so I didn't miss any football as well. So I don't think I'll be able to pull that off again. I've had enough of it.
I love the way that football still is the priority, whatever you do. I mean, tell us about that FA Cup game. Many of us watched it on the TV. Many of us, saw the just the smiles on the faces of everybody that was there. Have you even had a chance to watch back that game?
No, I watched. I'm a busy man anyway. I watched 10 minutes. I caught the first 10 minutes of it. Where was I? I was somewhere, I was stuck on an aeroplane or something, and I downloaded it, but I only ever watched 10 minutes of it. My ambition was always to try and fill all the parts of the ground, you know, all the railings all the way round, which, you know, that had a lump in my throat when I watched it back, watching everybody, you know, from the warm-ups walking out and stuff. I enjoy that. Obviously, the game, you know, the game was the game. They were better than us. We put up a good show, to be fair, but yeah, just for the village and everybody to come together and Anstey, because, you know, we have got 60 teams, and we cause a lot of traffic on the, you know, because people don't realize it's all part of the junior and a community club, you know, and on a Sunday we more or less gridlock the village because they keep building houses and we haven't got this. So for everybody, for once we got some positive press, you know, which was brilliant for the club, you know what I mean, and all the villagers come out, and from people around in Leicester. I go to the gym in Leicester, and you know, I keep getting bumped into now, seeing you on the telly, you that Anstey Nomads manager. I'm like, oh, I've had enough of this now.
and I joked before about the many hats that you wear, but has that success, you know, with all the locals flocking in, has that helped you with your volunteer base? And I know you were in the hunt for bar staff last time.
Yeah, it has, but you know, we were supposed to have an AGM when that week of it, but obviously we had to do all the risk assessments and meeting all the FA and the police, so we had to cancel the AGM. I'm like, we need to reschedule it now, but we've just done a Christmas raffle that we're part of. Comrade's got some good prizes from Leicester City, you know, there's £1,000 cash prize, you know, this is massive fundraising for us. A couple of weeks later we had 2,500 people on that pitch at the fireworks do, and we run all them events ourselves, so you know, I'm part of that. And like you say, as soon as I came back off holiday and that, you know, it was like, what we're doing with the fireworks for November, and then as soon as that's done, right, the Christmas raffle has to be out now. And like you say, that's the bigger picture, to raise money for, you know, for a 4G and a new clubhouse, you know, to make the club bigger and better, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and again, as you've said there, the season really hasn't let up for you. I'm guessing it's too early to talk of the legacy of the FA Cup and the impact that this has had on the club. But I guess the near future, certainly for the club, is assured now.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, we were always on a good footing anyway. You know, myself and the joint chairman and the other, Carl, he runs the business side of it. It has to be run by a business. All the kids' subs have to be paid, and everything has to be accountable, from the bar staff to the funding, you know, because it's community money. And you know, we're on a financial, but it's not so much the financial, because if we'd played at Chesterfield, as I said to you before, we'd have made a lot more money. You know, we had to spend 2,000 on police, we only got 2,000 for the TV, but I don't think we've even had that paid yet. You know, we've got to look into that. And the FA, so it was, and it's not about money, we were going to move it to Chesterfield or the King Power, but I'm glad in a way we pulled it off down there, although it's tiring, because that is a memory that everybody can keep from the village. We've got teams queuing up to want to come to us from the junior section anyway, you know what I mean, and growing. And to be fair, you know, I've had a few compliments from players who are sort of, how are you for players now, which is, you know, it's usually me having to chase them, so that's a good positive as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask whether that extra success has enabled you to add to the squad, you know, but not necessarily in terms of finance, but in terms of the appeal of the club. Suddenly you're a club that everybody wants to come to, I'd imagine.
Yeah, but I'm selective. We've only had one local lad just from a Birstall that were from Birstall United that I'd went to watch a few months ago, and asked him, you know, to step up a league and challenge himself, and he made his debut. Other than that, it's the same lads. Listen, there's mercenaries everywhere you go. From, you know, you can talk about Ronaldo and people that, you know, I call them mercenaries, people who are just interested in themselves. In my opinion, that don't work. And them guys, you know, I give them, you know, I'm quite polite, and then, you know, no, sorry, not for me, mate.
And what about, you mentioned those 60 plus junior size. I'd imagine, you know, the kids that were there, you know, the smiling faces, the families, that they're going to talk about that FA Cup game probably in 60 years' time as well. You know, but with so much going on, middle of the season, you've got these games coming thick and fast. It must be hard how you to have a chance to think how you can harness those the best way. You're already a great community club. How can you notch it up to the next level?
Yeah, well, like I say, our attendances from last year, because Leicester were in the, apart from the FA Cup, our attendances just dropped off because Leicester were in the Europa League playing on Sunday. So our attendances were up. Now we're clashing with them. And obviously now this time of the year, there's a lot of people, you know, I know the World Cup's on, but there's a lot of people who do other things because they go away for weekends and family things. So, you know, around Christmas, it's hard to get people in anyway. So even though there's no Premier League. So in a weird way, yes, we've had some good FA Cup games, but our general attendances are slightly down on last year. And that's, you know, it's a big factor of pulling people in. But all our junior members and parents get a free pass to come into our league games anyway. So, you know, and we do matched experiences. I think we played Wellingborough Town in the last round of the Vars, and we invited one of their under-11s teams to play ours, and they were all mascots, and you know, things like that. It's getting them down, and you know, flag waving, and you know, it's creating your own players, and you know, bringing them up there and giving them that incentive to play at Anstey, if not higher.
Yeah, so I'd imagine again after your FA Vars, fifth round last year, third round this weekend. It's those sort of games that can help continue that, you know, that snowball effect and that. But with, you know, big games like this, you know, games coming thick and fast, can you look any further than the next game ahead? Is it just like, what, Saturday we got a game, let's get that one out of the way?
Yeah, but obviously I've got I'm looking at who's available for Christmas. I've never played as manager for 3 or 4 years on Boxing Day. We usually request that off this year. We're that busy, we forgot to send the email across to say, you know, can we rearrange it? So we're stuck with, you know, I've got family come first, in my opinion, at our level. It's all right when you're getting paid for it full time. But I usually go up north and see my family. It's the first time I'm not going to see them for 20 odd years up north, you know, because I'm committed to the football, which has caused another problem. But I'm looking at who's away at Christmas. Who have I got already? You know, do I need to make some signings? Do I need to get some loan signings? Because, you know, in 4 weeks' time, I only keep a small squad. And, you know, the league, you know, I've got some good players, as you see, to compete with Chesterfield like that. And we've got to go up and get promoted. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be difficult to keep these, to keep some of them boys. They've committed to us. And, you know, the Vars were undefeated for 2 or 3 years. We've gone out, I think, on pens in the fifth anyway, for, I think, Walsall Wood the year before. I think the year before that, we got to one of the later, pick fifth round again. And then Wivenshaw last year, we went out at the fifth. So, you know, we're undefeated in the Vars probably for four years. We've gone out every time. So, but, you know, like you say, it's the old cliche. You know, I've got to worry about Saturday. But the league, you know, we're already 5 games behind Loughborough Uni. If we win all them games,
you go top, don't you?
But it's all right saying that. You've got to play them. And last year, we played 10 games in about 14 days, 15 days at the end. Something stupid like that, five. I think we more or less played every other day. You know what I mean? And it's just like, it doesn't matter how good you are, you can't play that many games. So our pitch floods. That's why we need a 4G pitch. And, you know, so it's all that. But yeah, to be fair, I'm looking at Saturday and looking at the next couple of, I always look at the next 4 weeks ahead, really. But we're going to turn up on Saturday. They've got 12:30 at Newark, who are a very good team in our league. Give us a good game there on a roll. So it's not going to be easy. And we've got a couple of knocks. So, you know, but we'll be going out to win.
And because they're in your same division, they're sort of battling to try and get promoted like you, does that make it easier or harder when you've got so many games that you're trying to fit in? Because I guess, you know, your time as well is limited to even get any stats and scouting information on the teams that you're due to be playing.
Listen, because we're, you know, in the odd time last year, obviously I'm busy anyway, but you've got to know who you're coming to crop up against, do you know what I mean? Mm. And we've played Saturday, Tuesday, and then, you know, sometimes we train on a Thursday, the odd time, but, you know, Saturday, Tuesday's enough for these boys, especially in the summer when it was rock hard, the ground. Now it's soft, especially our pitch, so you've got to manage them. You can't ask the same group of 16, 17 lads just to keep doing the same thing without picking up injuries. But, you know, I can't go anywhere. I used to go and look at, you know, a few teams on a Tuesday night to, if we didn't have a game. But we've had game after game after game. And I think I'm going to, I just said to the missus then, I'm going to go and watch Melton, Quorn, who were both up there in our league. It's only down the road on a Friday night. And she looked at me as if to say, oops, are you? Oh, yeah, I just dropped that one on her about 10 minutes ago. So I said, oh, are you going to see the horses? Or are you out tomorrow? No, no, I'm not. I said, oh, I feel I have to go and watch them. You know what I mean? So, but I'll enjoy it when they're, but just to see, you know, what they're all about, really, because we've got Melton just before Christmas.
Well, and I thought that you'd picked up the phone because you wanted to talk to me. You were just trying to avoid the backlash from the missus, weren't you? That's what
She's just put the Christmas tree up. I pulled it out of the loft with her, and that's it. I've left it now. So I've done my bit. I said, oh, I'm home for, I better go football. So, nah, she's all right.
The wonders of the non-league juggle. Tony, it's always a pleasure to get you on the Non-League Football Show. Always a pleasure to talk to you. I'm pleased that I got you on the air and that everybody's been able to hear how hard you've been working, how hard you continue to work, and how hard everybody up and down the country involved in non-league probably is. But look, best of luck at the weekend. Best of luck for the rest of the season. And thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
Cheers, mate. Thank you. Bye now.
So it is the FA Vars third round, so let's chat to a manager who's already seen his club match their best ever record in this competition. A record set only last season, in fact, and now hopes to lead his Step 6 side even further. It's a warm welcome to the Non-League Football Show. Manager of Whittlesea Athletic, Mr. Ricky Howlstone. Welcome, Ricky.
Hello there, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? You know, third round defeat last term, but no shame in that. Defeat to high level opposition, but also the side that went on to win the trophy in dominant style at Wembley, in Newport Pagnell Town. Have you had many changes from that squad last term? Have you kept them all together?
No, just about kept the, at least the majority. Maybe two or three changes, but mainly forced, if I'm being honest, not chosen. But we're as strong as we was last year, no doubt about that, and just looking to go that one step further, in theory.
Yeah, and as a part-time manager, you don't get many hours with these lads, and how do you make that defeat last term a springboard rather than a weight around their shoulders that this is the as far as the club's ever been?
Well, last year, I think it dented our league afterwards, because after Christmas we was poor. And I think the run and the excitement and everything that went with it last year was a massive high, and we let ourselves down afterwards. So even though this year it's the same step, it's a bit more the norm, even if I probably shouldn't say that, but it feels like it's not like record-breaking for the club, if that makes sense. We've been here, we know what it's about, we're just going to try to go that one step further and then make sure after Christmas in the league we don't dip away again.
And that's always the balance, isn't it? We spoke to Tony Blanchard earlier for Anstey Nomads, and they've experienced the same in previous seasons. They're on a really great run at the moment. FA Vars again this weekend. And it is, as a manager, you've got to look at it one day, one game at a time, take this game, but you've also got to be looking further afield as to how your squad as a whole is going to see through the rest of the season.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. It's like last year was a big learning curve. You know, it's huge for the football club. This year, it's like I say, it seems the same. But for the squad wise, again, it feels a little bit more. It's another game. Yes, it's against higher opposition, but it's another game. We'll go into try and do what we want to do and see where it takes us. Really, like I say, last year we had a great run, and losing to Pagnell 6-0 was a bit of a drumming, but it was never a 6-0 game. But like you said earlier, there's no shame in that. They went on and won it. So they're obviously a very, very good side. But yeah, we're keeping the group together and making sure we don't just take this one game and then let it all fall away again.
Yeah, so this weekend, home to Romford, as you say, higher level opposition. You beat this town on penalties, I think, in the first round. Then an impressive win last round against Oxy Jets. All of those came at home, as is this tie. Does that make a difference?
I think it definitely does to us. Obviously, being step six and playing step five, I think it makes a difference. We know what we're like at home. We are hard to beat at home. We'd like to think we are. which sometimes we roll over, but though I'd like to think we're hard to beat at home. You know, hopefully a few people come and watch. We're lucky, obviously, England aren't at three now. So that's that weight off our shoulders. But hopefully a few people that go to the Friday night games and Saturday dinner time games then turn out and watch us in the afternoon, really. Hopefully.
It is a great opportunity to go and watch as much football as possible this weekend and then still get home and watch some stuff on the telly as well.
Exactly, yeah. You can, if someone's on at 12:30, you can watch a 12:30 or 3 and then home to watch the 7 o'clock World Cup game.
Which we'd all love to do if we could, I guess, wouldn't we? You had a decent career as a player and now building the same in management as well as a dual role. How did the two distinct roles compare, though? Was being a player, it's a completely different set of weights on your shoulders, I guess.
Maybe, yes. I'd like to think I was always a leader as a player, set an example, tried to do things right. You know, tried to help my teammates. I was captain for a long while, so that part of me is very similar. 90% of it is organising and just knowing which player needs a cuddle and which one needs a kick up the bum. A little bit of it is working out how to break teams down and how to not get broken down yourself, which I'm learning still. But if I keep my group together, I know what I get out of them and I know how to get the best out of them, I like to think. Hopefully that's enough. And like I say, I liked it. I love my playing days. I still try to play a little bit now when the body allows and when I can pick myself and nobody else moans at me for picking myself. But, you know, it's, I will miss playing when it totally stops. But hopefully I do like the managing side. I do like the organising side. I do like looking after the lads and making sure they've got things right for them and making sure we're prepared the way we should be. And hopefully as well, giving something back to the football club and to the younger lads coming through that need a little bit of guidance, really.
Yeah, as a player, you feature for like lots of local clubs. So what's the magic element that drew you to Whittlesea?
I'm Whittlesea born and bred.
So, I guess for the a proper run, Google tells me that Whittlesea's famous for brickmaking and McCain's frozen potato products. If you can make them FA Vase winners as well, where can the club go to, with you at the helm?
We're always trying to progress. You know, I took over 5 years ago. Now this is my fifth season. When I took over, we was Division One of the Peterborough League. So what would that be? Step eight, two leagues lower. We've gone up twice, won some cups. We had no floodlights, no dugouts, no clubhouse. Just a set of change rooms and a pitch. We've now got a stand, a clubhouse, dugouts, floodlights, barriered off pitch. You know, the club is aiming to make steps every year. I like to think that I help in that and push the club forward when they need pushing, when things need doing to improve the ground facilities, improve the side, improve us as a whole. We've got a good committee that jumps on board and we get things done. And as long as the club wants to keep progressing, I'll keep managing. As far as I'm concerned, if we ever say, no, that's it, we don't want to go higher, we don't want to make steps, we don't want to build another stand, we don't want to improve the facilities, then to me that's where I'd stop, because I'm doing it to make things better and improve what Whittlesea's got for a community, for the children who play in the juniors and in, you know, the kids' football teams, that there's something there to strive to get to. And I think that's a big point for me.
Yeah, and for those that don't know as well, I mean, the club effectively only formed in its current state in 2014, a merger of Whittlesea United and Coates Athletic. I'm involved with a football club that had a merger. Sometimes those sort of things don't. It takes a few years to smooth out everything and everybody to agree in the right way. But you seem to have, as a club, as you say, gone up those levels and making progress year on year. which is, you know, says a lot about the people that are involved in the football club to be able to make that progress on the back of a merger.
Yeah, definitely. It was, don't get me wrong, it's not all been plain sailing off the field. We, a couple of years ago, we had five men's team playing football Saturday. We now got three. We had to drop a couple. We have got a Sunday team, kids team. We had a ladies team last year, but we've sadly gone away this year. So it's not without, it's testing times. But it's finding that happy medium that suits everybody. You know, we want to give football to everybody who wants to play football from Whittlesea. So if they're, I don't know, say not very good, but not as good as one level, well, then we'll try and offer football at another level. They can't play football on a Saturday. You know, we've got three lads going off to unis and things like that, can't play Saturday football. They wanted to play Sundays. So we open up a Sunday team for them and that sort of thing. And it's about just being there for everybody who wants to play football in Whittlesea. And making that work. The merge came about with the two teams. It's definitely been a huge positive for the town and the club as a whole, that the two teams can make strides to where we are now, because there's no way one of them would have done it without the other one had they stayed separate. No way.
And that tends to be the story, doesn't it, of these clubs that have come together and merged. And sometimes, as I say, it just takes some time. But it's nice to hear you talking about the club adjusting to what's required. And I think that's the important thing in the current economic climate we're in the current, everybody's got additional burdens on them, whether that's financial or just time burdens nowadays. Clubs at the heart of the community need to be serving the community as well as being the community. There's a dual role to be played, and I think clubs need to be listening to the people that are coming to visit to get the best out of, well, both those people and the best out of the club.
Yeah, it is about support. If you support the club, we can give more back, if that makes sense. You know, if we had 500 watching every week, then we can build a bigger, better facility a lot quicker than having 50. And if the people of Whittlesea want better facilities, that they need to jump on board and help push us along. You know, it's hard to get people through the gate, hard to get people out, especially as the time of year comes to this, when it's not that warm, it's not that pleasant to sit on the sideline for an hour and a half. But if you've got a warm, nice, inviting clubhouse, there's nothing stopping them going in for a drink. And that's what we're trying to achieve, that people want to come down there and spend time there. If it's not to watch football 100%, if it's, I'll see how the game's going, I'll pop inside and have a cup of tea or a drink, then so be it. That's still supporting us, and that's being in and around the club, which is only a positive.
And I think that's what I love to hear as well. It's great that I get to speak to people like you when you're on a great cup run and you're doing well in the league and that sort of thing. But actually, it's about being there and people being able to come and support you in any which way they can.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, the football's a big one, let's be honest. It's when you get a game like Saturday's going to be, hopefully people turn out who don't always come, if that makes sense. Not there week in, week out. Not there for every home game, but they come and have a look, they see it, they like it, they come again next home game. And we had just over 330, I think, last year to the Vars game, one of the Vars games. Now, yes, the away team brought a fair few, but at the same time, I think hopefully a few of them who came that time then return this time, and then hopefully it don't take them a year to come back again. As I say, it's nice to see new faces watching. It'd be nice not to see them once every year.
Yeah.
just see them two, three, four, five times a year sort of thing. But as you say, it's not easy to go out and just do what you want nowadays. It's a bit more, watching the bank balance, watching the pennies and seeing where you can, what you can and can't do.
Yeah. But as we said, it's a great weekend. If you even if your own team's involved, there might be an opportunity to get out and go and watch another game. You might be able to get along to Whittlesea Athletic against Romford at 3 o'clock kickoff on the Saturday afternoon, and go and see what Ricky's been talking about. Ricky, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. Best of luck at the weekend and best of luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you very much for having me.
So let's head on over then to Non-League Paper Towers. Welcome back to the Non-League Show. It's the editor-at-large of the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Bacot. Welcome back, Matt.
Thanks for having me back, Tim.
Well, you did a good job last time, so we allowed you back. And I guess, the World Cup, I'm getting slightly more excited about it. Maybe I'll focus on there. And I sense the world of non-league is as well. We've had kickoff times moving all over the shop this week. I can't keep track of it. I don't know if you guys can. One big talking point, I guess, this week was the FA Cup. Three definites into that third round proper. Dagenham and Redbridge, potential two with that replay against Gillingham to come. The draws for the third round of the FA Cup, setting up some great shop windows for the talent that's on display at non-league level. And it's got to be great for non-league as a whole.
Yeah, definitely. It's, as you say, there's some definites in there. Bournemouth beating Bristol Rovers on Sunday, adding to Wrexham getting through, and Chesterfield, obviously, shocking AFC Wimbledon, if you can call it a shock these days, a National League side beating a League Two team. But then there's the chance of Dagenham getting through as well. They've got a replay against Gillingham on Thursday, and so close to getting through last weekend. I think they scored about 10 minutes to go and then they conceded a stoppage time equaliser. I spoke to Darren McMahon earlier this week, and as a journalist, you guys say, oh, you know, heartbreak, and you sort of try and use those kind of words. And he said, well, heartbreak's a little bit too strong, because I was just pleased with the way we played. And he was kind of trying to make the point that they're going to go to Priestfield next week and go with no fear and try and get in there. And their reward is Leicester City. If they can get through, Wrexham are at Coventry, Chesterfield are at home to West Brom, aren't they? And Bournemouth have got Accrington at home, and it's kind of a funny one. You know, Bournemouth, I think this is the third year in the row they've got into the third round. And, you know, maybe not the big glamour sort of tie that they that you hope for, but I think they were sort of similar this stage last year where they played, I think it was AFC Wimbledon, and then they got through, and then they played Bournemouth, and they got through, and they went up to Everton and played, you know, had a big occasion up there. So it's funny how it all shakes out, and I think some of them, you know, those teams in there, they'll be thinking, well, certainly Bournemouth and Wrexham and even Chester will be thinking, we've got a chance of progressing even further into the competition.
Yeah, I'm particularly, you know, when the signs that we've got, the home draws, you know, if you're a league side, you're not going to fancy going there. And then if you're Coventry, going to be swamped with Wrexham fans, I would think if you're a player, if you're a fan, if you're the man, there's a seed of doubt already just seeing that fixture on the list.
Yeah, I think you'd be Coventry thinking, oh, no, not what we wanted. But, you know, you say at home, it's kind of, it doesn't seem to be, you know, seen this season already with Alvechurch winning at Cheltenham and obviously, like I say, Bournemouth winning at Bristol Rovers the other on Sunday. And I'm going down to Brighton a few years ago and Wrexham were down there and they took a massive following and they were so noisy. I think it was a draw in the end and it went to a replay. But, you know, they will take numbers there to Wrexham to Coventry. And that will, I think they did when they played Stoke a few years ago as well. I remember seeing the pictures from there and how many fans they have behind the goal and what a racket they'll make, and that will make it difficult for Coventry players. You know, I know the fans aren't playing, they're not out on the pitch, but when you've got some of the talented players and players who've played at much higher levels in that Wrexham squad, you know, they'll go there and really fancy making a mark. And I guess they're in that sort of weird position, aren't they, now, where they're obviously the league is their priority, and there's a few weeks now between before that game comes along and some big games. So it'll be interesting how they all kind of roll into that one. Say Chesterfield at home, you know, West Brom in the Championship. You see Championship teams get knocked out by non-league teams all the time at the moment. You know, Kidderminster beat Reading last year. in the third round, and it's when Lincoln went on their run, they beat Ipswich at this stage. So there's going to be lots of twists and turns to come in the FA Cup for sure, and hopefully Dagenham can get in there as well and join them and have a big big home game against Leicester if they can get through.
Yeah, and as you said though, that weekend of the 7th of January seems a long way off now, but it soon will come around. But that also means, you know, that there's some big league action to take place in the National League with those sides to compete in. It'll be interesting to see how those involved at those clubs will be impacted on that. So, can they keep their minds on the National League? They are professional footballers, after all, as we keep getting told. They should be able to do that, but there's got to be a nag in their mind. As you say, they're winnable ties as well, so that's going to sort of maybe add to the excitement of those third round ties, if there needed to be any added excitement to being in the third round of the FA Cup.
Yeah, and I think the motivation will be there for them to be, you know, for Wrexham and Chesterfield and Dagenham and Bournemouth to, you know, some of them Dagenham aren't through, but, you know, for all of them to be in that really good position as they go into those games, as they go into that break, because, you know, they're all having a say in the promotion race in different ways, and Dagenham are just outside at the moment. Again, they're not through yet, but there's that opportunity there. It's a sort of a slightly different Christmas this year calendar, isn't it, where it's not as
intense, is it?
I don't Boxing think. Day, sometimes you've been playing, playing 2 days later. We haven't sort of got that this year. It's Boxing Day, and then not playing again until New Year's Day, and then obviously the FA Cup's the week after. So it's kind of a slightly calmer run up to the third round weekend, whereas often there's no time to kind of think about it at all, because there's so many games back to back and squeezing them in and playing on all sorts of random days and things like that. So it'll be interesting if that can sort of have a little effect and they're not going in sort of as game tired. But yeah, I think they, from their point of view, they will have to park it now, because if they don't and things happen, results go against them in the league, then they'll be going into that break not all that satisfied with how they're where they are, because it is that sort of stereotypical crucial part of the season that's coming up, and there's a few games before we get to the Christmas stage as well. So obviously there's a trophy weekend sandwich in there as well. So that, with that coming to thinking, we sort of see different squads, different teams, and that I imagine we will. But it's all set up for an exciting few weeks ahead.
Yeah, the Christmas turning point as well, because of the way that the fixtures have turned out for many of the clubs in the National League. It really will be halfway through their season as well, which will be an interesting way of assessing how the season's gone so far. You know, one of those clubs, Scunthorpe's second from bottom at the moment. We saw Tony Dawes step down as interim manager and Michael Nelson step in as cover interim this week. But again, not sure how long that's going to be, because the today, speaking on Thursday, the club have announced a local consortium group that appear to have been approved for a takeover. So, halfway through the season, can they turn it around? Could they finally get to grips with non-league football and make the playoffs?
Yeah, that's the thing at the moment. It's results on the pitch have not been good, and obviously overshadowed by lots of issues off it, and kind of that sort of general malaise that sort of you get the feelings around the club, and they need to start getting results very, very quickly. Because, we all know what this league can do. It can sort of suck the life out of the ex-Football League clubs who come down. And these games will go by very, very quickly. If they're not getting enough points, and soon they're going to be, all the teams down there, it's that crucial period. Well, soon they'll find themselves, in that dogfight all the way through to the end of the season. And we've seen in the past that anything can kind of happen, and no club's too big to kind of to drop through. You look at Stockport County a few years ago, York obviously been down there, and not only that, when you go down, not all that easy to get up.
Well, particularly out of step two divisions. And I think the worrying thing coming out of that statement today from Scunthorpe was that it appeared to be the catalyst required to ensure that November's wages could be paid, albeit late because we're already in December, but that, we hear that from, you know, I certainly hear rumours from a number of clubs that are in that position. We keep saying that, you know, on the back of COVID, we've done so well to be able to, you know, have the clubs still in existence, still going. But it is a reminder that there are, you know, week in, week out, clubs are, you know, moving money here, you're living hand to mouth, and yeah, particularly as we come into this Christmas season, you know, clubs up and down the levels, whether that's step one or further down to 7, 8, 9, 10, as much support as you can offer, either by attending the game or buying a drink, everything like that's going to help clubs at this stage of the year.
Yeah, I think there's been suggestions from Chris Phillips, who covers Southend United for the Echoes, said that they think they're sort of been out over their ways, or they've been late. I can't quite remember the point, but you know, he's so well connected there that you know, there's obviously issues there, and we've seen all the problems at Southend off the pitch as well, which kind of been in contrast to how they've been on the pitch this year. But yeah, I think there's that that human element to it, isn't there, as well, that we can, you know, people can sometimes forget, you know, these aren't multi-millionaire footballers who are you know, absolutely caked in cash. You know, this is money that's going on mortgages and foods on the table and all these kinds of things, and that is a very harsh reality of it. And it's kind of unfortunately shows, you know, while there's been lots of good things that have been done to tighten financial controls in football and in non-league, you know, there's always going to be issues, because it seems to be the nature of the sport and business, unfortunately.
Yes, sport and business. That's what it is, though. Again, we need to understand that. You know, as you say, it is a human element. So, you know, sad to see Gary Satchell at Bedford Town, Chris Cummings at Kings Langley, two names that have done so well for their clubs, but not well enough by all accounts, and they're departing from their clubs. And then we had the curveball this week. Gary Smart left Faversham Town with them struggling in step four, and in comes Sammy Moore, leaving his role in Potters Bar Town, where they were favourites, I guess, for promotion from step three based on the season so far. An interesting move. I guess someone with faith in his own ability. And I understand it's a lot nearer his home as well, and his family, which, having done that commute around the M25 on a regular basis, I can understand that as well.
I think anybody who's ever been around the M25 completely understands.
Even just once on the Tuesday night.
Any sort of... even one junction would be an absolute nightmare, let alone going around from Kent round to Potts Bar. But in all seriousness, yeah, it was a surprise, you know, when the announcement came that he departed. And I think he sort of quite quickly said there was another opportunity close to home that he kind of couldn't turn down. And, you know, Faversham, obviously a club who'd love to kind of drop down there and get them up and, you know, kind of be at the same level and pushing on. But Potts Bar, I think they've said it doesn't change their goals this season. They still want to get promotion. They had a bit of a ding-dong with Hornchurch last weekend, didn't they? Hornchurch came out on top and in the battle of the top two. Seems to be lots of top two games last week. But yeah, they sort of saying that the remit doesn't change their goal doesn't change this year, and that'll be an attractive proposition for somebody to take that on and that, use that base to you know, in a very competitive league, and you know, got Enfield, Bishop Stortford this weekend as well, and you know, big games coming thick and fast in all divisions, and someone can go into Potter's Bar and will be looking to take that squad on pretty quickly.
Yeah, and there are plenty of managers out there, I'm sure, who sort of already thrown their CV and the hat into the ring. A number of other moves. I guess nice to see Paul Phillips back in the dugout up after leaving Matlock. He's now taking on the vacant role at Guiseley. And an interesting one to see Mark Molesley announced as director of football at Gosport Borough this week. But then in the same sort of statement, it said that his first immediate task, was being taken the side for this weekend's game against Tiverton Town. So I'm not sure if the idea is to bring somebody in underneath him at a later date, or whether they're just altering the kilter of the way that the management and coaching works at the Gosport Borough from this, you know, henceforth.
Yeah, I always suppose he says that we've got managers, head coaches, and all sorts of different sort of sort of different roles these days. But yeah, as you said, it's director of football, so you know, like, gives you that sort of more overview. But he seems to be taking the team this weekend, and yeah, it didn't quite happen for him at Aldershot and that sort of this season, and that's why I ended up out of a job there, and sort of difficult that was for the club. It was a bit of a club legend from his sort of playing days and what he did there, but he's had success at Weymouth. She had spell at Southend as well, but he had success at Weymouth. You know, difficult, all the difficulties that would have been at Southend, but had some success at Weymouth as well. So, you know, be looking to kind of get back to that and get Gosport kind of in that mix again. You know, as they were quite a bit last season.
Yeah, and I guess, yeah, but for where he's again, where him and his family live in relation to the country, that he knows the football there as well from his time at the obviously in the under 23s at Bournemouth. There's certainly knows the players on the South Coast. So wish him well as an appointment. Just be interesting to see how it evolves and you know, who ends up with eventual titles and who's going to be in the dugout, and whether he's going to be in the dugout week in, week out. We'll wait and see, I guess. As I said, there are kickoffs. We've got the FA Vars round two. We're speaking to a couple of managers at Whittlesea Athletic, and also Tony Blanchard again at Anthony Nomads this week about preparing for the FA Vars round three, actually, isn't it? It's so there'll be coverage of FA Vars games. We've got kickoffs, I think, at, you know, 12:30, 2:00, 3:00, Friday, Saturday. Plenty to keep track of. How's the non-league paper going to keep track of all of that this weekend, and what can we expect to read?
Well, we probably almost certainly won't keep track of it, and we'll just see what time things come in, because I'm so... my confession here is that, for some reason, I thought that if England won the group, they played on Saturday. So there was this part of me thinking, might not be a bad thing if they don't win the group. And not until the morning of the Wales game did I realise that actually, well, I was informed by my good colleague, John Couch, who corrected me after I was rabbiting on about, would it be better if England didn't win the group? that the winners actually played on Sunday. So I've got it all confused. So there's not much hope for me. I've seen a few kickoffs going back to 3:00. And... Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be, you know, I think the majority will keep in. Obviously, fans have made plans now. I think that was one of the good things, that things were changed early on, because if England or Wales were playing, because that was obviously the, you know, the other hope that both teams would get through the group. But, yeah, there's going to be lots of games all over the place. And I think it will be kind of interesting to see. Some clubs might be thinking, you know, obviously there's been this sort of issue around floodlights and, you know, trying to save money, and it's kind of almost a little... nice easy little trial run for it for some of those clubs who are kicking off earlier. So again, wonder if it would have been better if England or Wales had been playing, particularly for clubs in England, if England had played on the Saturday, and could they have, you know, piled people straight into the bar after, especially with one of them kick off and a quick turnaround and kind of all that that would have come from that. Whereas, you know, that could have been a big sort of festival, you know, a big day for everybody. So it's not quite panned out from that point of view, but it will be interesting to kind of see how the crowds are affected, and if sort of people quite like it. Obviously around Christmas time we used to sort of those early kickoffs and on Boxing Days and New Year's Days, and you know, it might encourage people out a little bit more before some of the World Cup games later on in the day. It's just been kind of this really odd experience of these World Cup games going on around with non-league matches at the same time, and obviously there's been no clashes, but you know, it's just been kind of an odd experience being in the office on a Saturday waiting for you know, keeping track of all the non-league games with sort of the World Cup going on in the background. But lots of half 12 kickoffs, so do help the deadline, so I'm not against that.
As long as those match reporters remember to file their report before they go off into the bar,
you still got to get it in by you don't have till 6:30. Get in by 4:00.
A couple of hours, but after
that was
after
the worry. They've been in an England game
games would have finished at half, half 12 and 1 o'clock kickoffs, and then everyone would think, I'll give my report in after the England game, and cool, if that had gone bad, they'd all gone to extra time, I could have been there all night. So, probably for the best. That
as non-league fans, all we're really worried about is being able to read the reports and all the other entertaining information that's in the non-league paper come Sunday morning.
Well, yeah, I think I'm also pleased that we don't have to worry about VAR, because that's sort of turned into an absolute shambles in the World Cup.
Well, being one of the closest clubs to Stockley Park and potential VAR, I'm making sure that if it ever Stockley Park ventures,
another trial.
No, I will oppose that as vehemently as possible. And
nice reading. They normally celebrate a goal, go in and be able to celebrate it properly, rather than sort of celebrate and then a couple of minutes later suddenly realising that the goal is under review. What that tends to mean.
So. I know we're veering off the topic here and that, but everybody's talking about the extra time that's being played, which it doesn't seem to be, they seem to be playing it by the rules. But I'm sure, spending 5 minutes waiting for a VAR decision is probably not helping that.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I do hope that we don't sort of start drifting to 8 and 9 minutes of stoppage time. And it does seem to be this kind of random thing that sort of just suddenly happened. And I was talking to some people. I said, it's good for time wasting, but this is happening in games where there is no time wasting. Yeah. And there doesn't seem to any. I mean, obviously with the subs and things, but we're only doing those in 3 blocks. But yeah, it's all very bizarre. Just give me non-league. That'd be
give me the basic easier, game of football that makes us all want to run around. And if we can't run around, we just want to watch it. And we just want to enjoy it. And we just want to read about it in the non-league paper on Sunday. Matt Padcock, thanks as ever for joining us on the non-league football show. We look forward to reading the paper on Sunday. And thank you very much.
Thanks, Tim.
And that's it for this week. Thanks as ever to all of my guests. Good luck to all those involved in the FA Vars this weekend and also league action as well. Hopefully the sound quality issues dealt with a bit better this week. A big thank you to everybody for listening and all your patience in recent weeks with some of those issues. Don't forget to tell your friends, share the pod. Every little helps. And of course you can follow us throughout the season. Join in with the debate throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. And you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, but also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, GeoSavin, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic via your smart speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, enjoy your football. Just looking at the World Cup, we know almost anything can happen. So keep the faith, keep supporting your club, keep supporting non-league football, keep supporting the non-league football podcast. Thank you and goodbye.
J-I-B-B-A-J-A-B-B-A.